Our reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 15, and you can find it on page 966. Matthew 2, 9 to 15. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Thank you, Sally. Okay, well, my talk today is about coming up to Advent and all that entails in its various good and bad ways, as I'm sure you all know. We're once again in the magical time of Advent. The winter nights are closing in. The rain today is quite dreadful. I'm thanking you for all coming here today. I mean, I rushed down early this morning to avoid the rain. And so as winter is coming upon us, and also we've got these candles out to remind us that Christmas is coming. It's slowly getting nearer and nearer the day when we gather around with our family around the fire, put the stockings up, and get ready for Christmas. In the town centre, the Christmas decorations seem like they were barely put away before they were out again. They must have been up for over a month by now. But this is it, the real thing, getting ready for the anniversary of Christ's birth. And yet, there is a strange thing. This is also the build-up to the day of the year when there's a sharp rise in hospital visits, when you're most likely to have a heart attack, and when, on average, all of you, on average, will gain £5 over Christmas. Now, if that's shocking, I don't know what is. But there is a more serious side to the dark side of Christmas. Almost two-thirds of people interviewed in a survey in 2001 said they found Christmas stressing or depressing. And in one survey, preparing for Christmas was rated as the 13th most stressful thing that can happen to you. So that's on the list with losing your keys, with someone close to you dying, or with having a big exam, which I don't think made it that high, although I have to disagree with that. Most Christmas spending goes on up north, where the average person will spend £919 on Christmas. That's almost £1,000, and the average annual salary of someone in the UK is £24,000. So that's 4% of the average annual salary spent on one event. And then out of that, 50% of pet owners buy their pets Christmas presents. And in total, they spend £27 million on bones, flashing balls, fluffy mice, whatever you can buy in that massive pet shops they set up out of town so that you can feed your rare Arabian lizard whatever it would expect to have on Christmas in the middle of wherever it came from. And this is all for one event, the anniversary of Jesus' birth. Except it's not even the anniversary of his birth. He was probably born some random time in the middle of summer, sweltering heat around, trapped in a cave. And so, what has Christmas become? Is it still celebrating the birth of Jesus, or has it become into a reason for stress, putting on weight, and shopping, which may not be a bad thing sometimes? When researching for this talk, I found one anecdote. A television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo at Christmas time. Much as in America, Christmas shopping is a big commercial success in Japan. And the interviewer stopped one young woman on the sidewalk and asked, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" Laughing, she responded, "I don't know. Is that the day that Jesus died?" There was some truth in her answer. Christmas has been taken over by retailers and the media piling on more and more pressures of what's expected of you and me over Christmas. Whether it's the mother busying herself away in the kitchen doing Delia's latest 14-hour recipe, rushing out to the health store at the day before Christmas Eve, having found out that she absolutely has to buy the last packet of cranberries left because all the other mothers have dashed out before her and bought all the pine nuts, and the only thing to replace pine nuts is cranberries, known for their healing antioxidant properties. And then you look at the shops and you look at Father Christmas, and yes, the beginning of he was a real person and he did do some amazing things, giving gifts to the poor. But Father Christmas is amazing for the retailers. A big, fat, jolly man with a sack full of presents. I mean, you take your child in, and he sits on the lap, and it's like, "So what do you want for Christmas?" And then the child will start. He'll start off with the normal things, a new Game Boy, maybe some Pokemon cards, that sort of thing. Although that was probably when I was young, so I'm way out of things. They go by so fast. And slowly the parent's sitting there waiting for the child to get the badge and to take them out and the child to finally finish the long list of whatever they want. But it goes on and it goes on. And so Father Christmas is the way to just make the child know what they want. Now the child is in control. So what have we got once we boil away Father Christmas, the TV programs, all of that? We get Jesus, the birth of a child, in what was basically a cave or in around those times, dank, where you kept the livestock, hay on the floor. And yes, it's an amazing thing. You've got God, the God, our God, the God, coming down into a baby, a fragile little thing, being born into a place where you would have kept the lowly animals. And all of this isn't the perfect scene that you find on your Oxfam Christmas card. It's not halos around and all sorts of saints popping up from nowhere. It's refugees fleeing from where they originally came from, sort of governed in a tyrannical sort of empire. You've got the world in one of its worst situations ever. You think you've got America bad at the moment, but you have the Romans, soldiers everywhere. And they've been forced out of their home, back to where they came from. It's like telling everyone in the UK, you have to go back to whatever country you came from, even if it was your great-great-great-grandparents who came over here, and you've been set up here for ages. You've got to go back, because we need to keep control of you. And so this is pretty awful. And then, to top it all off, as we had in our reading, you've got Herod, and they've had this child, and they've run away. And so, pretty stressful. I mean, probably more stressful than having even four little cousins come over and pulling at your clothes constantly. And so this is amazing. But with this amazing thing, you have that stress deep down, and you've got a whole turmoil of emotions, which will come into Christmas today and is a fact of life. So it's not this fairy tale. It's not this idyllic wonderland. It's real, and it happened. And so what do we take from that? That's when we take Christmas and the giving. You look at these wise men who have come hundreds of miles, and you take the shepherds, the lowliest job, who have been looking after the sheep. If they lose a sheep just going to see Jesus, that's part of their livestock, sort of looking after their family, just gone. But they set their priorities right. They take their love for God And they manifest that into presence. I mean, into presence for Jesus. I've got a reading now from G.K. Chesterton, who has a great thing to say about manifesting. So Jess is going to read that to us now.
Let us take one instance out of many of this principle in operation, the case of Christmas presents. A little while ago, I saw a statement by Mrs. Eddy on this subject, in which she said that she did not give presents in a gross, sensuous, terrestrial sense, but sat still and thought about truth and purity till all her friends were better for it. Now, I do not say that this plan is either superstitious or impossible, and no doubt it has an economic charm. I say it is unchristian in the same solid and prosaic sense that playing a tune backwards is unmusical or saying ain't is ungrammatical. I do not know that there is any scriptural text or church council that condemns Mrs. Eddy's theory of Christmas presents, but Christianity condemns it as soldiering condemns running away. The two attitudes are antagonistic not only in their theology, not only in their thought, but in their state of soul before they ever began to think. The idea of embodying goodwill, that is, of putting it into a body, is the huge and primal idea of the incarnation. A gift of God that can be seen and touched is the whole point of the epigram of the creed. Christ himself was a Christmas present.
Thanks, Jess. So if you see from that, he puts it very well. You have Jesus as the Christmas present, and by giving presents, we're taking that, because what is, and then doing it on our own miniature form to our friends and relatives. Because if you think, what is love, if just a feeling? If you don't take it and actually do something about it, you might as well just be thinking, ooh, well, he's very good and I should be helping him, but I'm too busy, or something else. It's all about what you do, not what you think, but what you do. And that's one of the great things that Jesus says, which is often avoided in a sort of, ooh, isn't that a bit edgy way, sort of, it's okay if you're thinking happy thoughts, but then if you think about it, all of us have bad thoughts at the time. There's nothing we can do about that. But the thing is, we don't go over and hit the person who's been annoying us. And in the same way, if we love someone, then that's maybe just a natural feeling. But the important thing is that we do it, and we give presents, and we help each other at Christmas time. If we think about that, and we look at the shepherds and the wise men, it's about their priorities, because they were happy, and then they did something about it. They went down to that manger, they dropped everything, and they went to see this baby. And so what we have to learn from this is that we have to stop stressing and think about our priorities and think, God sent down himself to save us. And that is just amazing and much bigger than whether we slightly burn the turkey or if we end up cooking far too many Brussels sprouts and we have them in a pot left over and you're wondering what Aunt May will think of you because of your bad management of Christmas and how she did it last year so much better than you did. And so we think of that and think of Martha and Mary. The Bible is full of so many great ways to describe this. And you have Martha rushing around and then you have Mary just sitting there talking to Jesus and actually doing it. And so what I really want to say to you is this Christmas, I want you to go away and, yes, cook an amazing turkey and do all of that stuff. But at the heart of it, remember that it's about this event a couple of thousand years ago when God came down to earth and gave a present to all of us. And so we can learn from that and remember that presents are good and that the best present that you can give, it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be as easy as a hug. So go out this Christmas, give someone a hug, and remember what Jesus did. Thank you.